We've been told countless times to make our passwords more secure online. New research today shows why. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. We don't always follow the cybersecurity best practices, but global insurer Hiscox highlights the importance of battening down the hatches on the web. It found more than 60% of global businesses have been hit by a cyber attack in the last year. Here's Gareth Wharton, cyber CEO at Hiscox.
Last year, we saw a prevalence of ransomware. So this is when you get an email saying, click this link. And when you click it, it encrypts all the data on your computer and often spreads to all the ones in your office network so that you can't get to your data. So for example, you're a restaurant, you can't take any bookings. This year, we've seen a shift to what's called business email compromise. This is where people break into your email account and start sending your customers or your suppliers spoof invoices saying, please pay to a new location.
Now, you examined more than 5,000 businesses around the world. You found the UK spends the least on security. So is the amount of spending proportional to a country's vulnerability?
I think it's difficult to draw a direct link between a country's vulnerability. The UK were second highest spenders last year, just behind the US. So it's not a trend we've seen over a number of years. But what we think it might be down to is in the UK, there's over 5 million small businesses. Typically in the news, we only see the big hacks. So we believe that small companies may think they're not vulnerable. If you're a small company, cybersecurity is not your main skill. So we believe that some people go, I just don't know how to deal with this. I'm not going to take it on.
And that makes sense when you're research shows 74% of firms are considered cyber novices. What more can and should businesses of all sizes be doing?
Training your staff to be aware of phishing emails or your finance team to say if a payment's going to a new place to make sure it's legitimate, regularly patching your services using secure passwords.
So it's still the same kind of practices that we've been preaching for a few years now. And research, I think out just this week, showed one of the most common passwords was like ABCD or 1234. Are you guilty of using some of those passwords?
Now, we were talking about this earlier, that actually having a unique password for every service is really difficult and it is really complex. I have a password manager and I have unique passwords for every account, but this is what I do for a living. It's difficult for me to convince my parents to do this, so I understand that it is not a straightforward process.
It's difficult for all of us.
Absolutely.
Gareth, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
No problems. Thanks very much.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are largely mixed after investors return from a four-day Easter holiday. In South Korea, Samsung shares were 0.3% lower after the company delayed the release of its folding smartphone. Last night, it said early reviewers reported that screens broke after just a few days. And global oil prices, up another nearly 1%, are helping boost energy majors like Royal Dutch Shell. That's after the U.S. vowed yesterday to begin penalizing nations that continue importing Iranian oil. Savvy social media skills, pledges to end corruption, and a declaration that he is not a politician helped comedian Vladimir Zelensky claim victory in a closely watched presidential race in Ukraine over the weekend. Ivarius Abramovicius was an advisor to Mr. Zelensky during the campaign and served as economy minister for outgoing President Petro Poroshenko. He explains that while a $17.5 billion IMF bailout has gone a long way to reviving Ukraine's economy, the country has been slow to adopt anti-corruption reform, which was a key condition to the funding.
The key to successful economic development is continuous cooperation with International Monetary Fund, which is an anchor of reforms in Ukraine. And any problems with International Monetary Fund would derail this economic recovery that we are witnessing. So it is important from that perspective. We also have oligarchic systems still in place that can be tackled and addressed through proper functioning of anti-monopoly committee. We also have had very high tariffs for domestic households when it comes to gas. And now that gas prices have tumbled in Europe, I think we could expect even a decrease in gas prices domestically, which has never been seen ever before. But he's a new person to politics. Expect a pushback from more experienced politicians. So it's going to be both an opportunity for Ukraine, but also plenty of risks and challenges.
Ivarius Abramovicius. She's a 16-year-old activist whose decision to skip class and demand action on climate change has encouraged students around the world to follow her example. Last summer, Greta Thunberg stopped going to school on Fridays, choosing instead to picket outside the Swedish parliament to raise awareness of global warming. Since then, she's addressed world leaders at the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. Now, the teenager is in London to meet British politicians. She says a message of hope is not enough and wants everyone to panic. So what exactly does she mean by that?
By panic, I mean that we step out of our comfort zones and that we realize what is actually going on. As I say, if your house is on fire and you want to keep your house from burning to the ground, then that does require some level of panic. You don't sit talking about insurance claims or rebuilding, renovations. Then you do everything you can to put out the fire.
For her part, Greta has given up meat and refuses to travel by plane. She made her way to London on a 2-day train journey across Europe. But while she says lifestyle changes do matter, it's action by big businesses and governments that really count.
We must realize that these individual changes, of course, they make a difference, but not as much difference as bigger changes on maybe a national level would make. Most emissions aren't caused by individuals, they're caused by corporations and states.
Some say Greta has brought her protest to the wrong country, though. UK greenhouse gas emissions have fallen substantially over the past 2 decades, and it's led many to ask whether climate change protesters, like those who took to the street in London last week, should take their pink boat that has symbolized their cause to Tiananmen Square in Beijing instead. Greta has her own message.
If I got an invitation to speak with Chinese leaders, then of course I would go there if I had a lot of time to go there by train. But actually, no country is doing nearly enough. If we want to change countries like China, I think things you can do is like stop buying unnecessary things manufactured there.
16-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg there. Don't forget, you can catch us all day long on social media. We're at the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.